And when I walked in, I went right through it. Thank God. I mean, I literally, thank God.
Okay.
Alrighty, everybody, I'm going to call this meeting to order. It is the American Rescue Plan Act Special Committee meeting of June 28th, 2023. It is 5:06 p.m. and I'm going to ask our clerk to call roll.
Criswell.
Here.
Corcoran.
Here.
Levine.
Here.
Lopez is absent. And Sperry.
Here.
Thank you very much. Could I get a motion to approve the minutes of the May 24th, 2023 meeting?
Motion.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. All right, we're going to move on to reports. So we have a fairly short agenda for resolutions tonight, but I wanted to carve out some time for some conversations about a couple things that have come up recently. Specifically Elizabeth Manor and CARES 2. Uh-huh. And I think I want to take this out of order. I think I'm going to do CARES 2 first because I want to just make... Oh, hello.
Oh.
How are you?
Hi.
Good to see you. So you didn't miss anything.
Let the record show Legislator Lopez is here.
We're just going to have a report out and a conversation about CARES 2 and what's happening, and I asked Deputy Executive LaValle to join us, as well as Comptroller Gallagher, to just sort of talk through what's happening, what the hiccups, problems have happened, and what some potential solutions we've got moving forward. I don't know if all of you know about this. If not, we'll give you sort of the full picture. Amanda, do you want me to kind of front load that conversation, or I'm happy to have you started and just sort of given a little timeline of kind of what has happened with the CARES 2 funding? Yeah, happy to. So my understanding is that, you know, we were approached about, you know, doing this CARES 2 funding for ARPA funds, you know, after conversations with Tim Wiedemann at that point, and you know, we all got on board with the fact that small businesses were adversely affected by COVID, and we really wanted to support them with this money, which seemed like a really appropriate use of the funds. And you know, as always, we went through our process of criteria and scoring, and we had questions. I think we all really wanted to make sure that the money's got to the right hands and that there was a really good process for that. And so in our scoring process, I think we came up with a lot of good questions. I thought that the resolution was crafted very specifically to say who should get the monies, and then the subsequent contract as well had very clear financial language about where those money should go. My understanding is somehow there was a problem that occurred. There was supposed to be a very clear wall for people to either get in or not get in, a hurdle that was you know, intractable. You had to either get over that hurdle to be accepted into the pile of potential applicants or not. My understanding is that people got over that hurdle who should not have gotten over that hurdle, or potentially, we don't know this for a fact, but potentially there are people who got over that hurdle and then also were then awarded funds. So what is happening, my understanding again, is that the comptroller has flagged some of this, and I'll let the comptroller speak for herself to explain how that came about, but we're putting a pause right now on distributing funds until we can ascertain whether the organization actually, whether the business owner and the organization did actually meet those financial criteria. One thing that I have asked the comptroller and have talked with the executive about as well is that I want to make sure that we're not putting people in a tough financial state, so that there's been a conversation about fast-tracking small businesses that were pretty clear would have gotten over that hurdle without any problems, and hopefully fast-tracking any reimbursements of invoices. So I think I've kind of covered it. I want to make sure that we are transparent about this. If there was a problem, we have to address that there was a problem, and we have to fix the problem. So I don't want us to I don't want it to become rumor mill. I want us to just address it. Here it is. Let's figure it out. Let's make sure that it's clear who should be getting this money, how we're going to distribute it, and let's be clear about the process as well. So that's my front load.
Thank you, Chair Criswell. And I think that was a very good synopsis of the issue. And I will kind of share some details and more about the process that we're going through right now. But I just want to say up front that we're in a place where we're working very closely with the comptroller to perform a review, so that we're getting lots of questions from businesses about can we do this or can we do that, or what happened, this and that. And it's really important to say that we are taking a pause right now. However, we are working as diligently as possible to resolve and come to the next step as quickly as possible, because we understand how serious this is for businesses, and especially for small businesses, which this was intended to aid and assist. And right now, we're in this period of uncertainty about the program or what will be their path forward. We were informed, had a notice from the comptroller regarding an intent to audit the CARES 1 and CARES 2 program. And in the process of pulling together some of that documentation, we spent a little more time looking at, the whole provenance and the series of steps that were taken that go from an idea, which is what happens, to the actual program development and then the implementation of the grant. And we had enough questions about details of that process in that review, that the county executive reached out to the comptroller, sharing her kind of decision to initiate the pause on the program for right now, and that means not processing any invoices, not requesting additional invoices, and getting documentation to the comptroller so that she can perform her review. And of course, we'll let her speak more on that. But we continue to talk to any business who calls, tell them what we can, assure them that we're working on this, and taking lots of notes about all the different situations that they're in regarding how they were trying to implement the grant, so that we can, as we look at if we have to look towards different paths forward, I have a good log of scenarios of what's going on. So trying to think about how we could, just make sure that we're listening to folks about what they're doing with that grant, how they were trying to implement it, so that we understand kind of the universe of what those business owners are dealing with right now. But again, to hopefully resolve this, move forward with, and what we can as quickly as we can.
Thank you. I think before we do questions, I think I'd like to let the comptroller talk to kind of bookend the conversation, and then we'll open it up.
I'm going to go in reverse order of my notes here. I just want to say, if you're getting questions from businesses, I want to tell you what we found to be helpful when a business calls, and we have taken a few of these calls, to right up front say to them, we acknowledge, we recognize this is extremely challenging for you. We're sorry you're going through this. We're going to expedite this review. Our goal is to make sure that we're complying with federal and local rules, and we're sorry that you're having to go through this. So I think if you're being confronted, an apology really goes a long way. A couple people have said to me, okay, thank you, just knowing that we take it seriously. I secondly want to just mention briefly how the audit will go. I mean, we're fast-tracking this. What Chair Criswell said is true. We are going to work as quickly as we can to identify those people that are clearly eligible so that we can start upping, the payment and the flow of funds out. There'll be, I think there were going to be a few other groups. There are going to be a group of businesses that may not be eligible at all, and then there's going to be a group of businesses that we may need more documentation on. So we'll work with the administration on those. As I told the business, it's not going to be months. It's going to be weeks, but I can't give you an exact time frame. We're going to work as quickly as we can. Because this program touched so many entities, and even people who, you know, may have applied or organizations that may have applied and chose not to apply because of these income thresholds that now we're saying, you know, wish they had applied if the thresholds were not in place. We have part of our team is conflicted out, so, you know, those of us who will remain are going to just focus on this program. And then I just want to mention why we're auditing. We actually made a series of recommendations to the economic development staff about some of our concerns around the CARES 2 program when it was being proposed. And when the awards were made, when the announcement was made, we realized that some of our concerns may not have been taken into account. And it's a shame because USITA had actually come to the controller's office and asked us if we would perform a function that the state had performed on CARES 1, which was to review every invoice coming in from a business, and we were very happy to do that because we would like to be reviewing every invoice that goes into USITA, and this was going to be a start to building that relationship. But when we saw who the awardees were and we realized we had additional concerns, we certainly did not want to be in the position of saying this invoice is okay when the underlying applicant may not have been eligible. So at that point, we informed the administration that we were going to perform an audit of these two programs. We are prioritizing CARES 2. We will work on that first. We'll get that done first. We can turn to CARES 1 later this summer. And I hope that, you know, that's a summary. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Committee members. I'm just going to say there's frustration on my end because I thought our intention was extremely clear. So when I looked over the awardees list again, I was surprised to see nonprofit organizations on it because this was supposed to be for small businesses. We had nonprofit funds. So however it got into that translation of that initial pool of applicants, that was problematic. So we have to figure out, I don't want to too much like muckraking or whatever that's called, you know, bringing that up. What I want to do is I want to try and figure out moving forward. You know, if we're going to use USITA again to distribute the funds for the solar, you know, I want to figure out a way that we are really clear about how does our legislative intent and the contract get, it has to be ironclad. Like, there can't be any ambiguity about what we wanted this money to go for and all the regulations that we had talked about and set up, and it just, we can't have this happen again. So that's what I want to figure out is solutions moving forward. I want to get this cleaned up, and I want to figure out solutions moving forward. So that's my goal with this. Other committee members want to weigh in on this, or... Yes.
Chair, if I could just say, I think the audit, you know, and it'll be broken into several pieces, going to have a series of recommendations, and I think the administration already is aware of some things that they would want to implement internally. So I do think that there will be a nice concrete set of things that we'll be able to rely on in the future.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think exactly what you said is that let's figure out how many there were, how many were eligible, how many weren't. And I think, you know, we had discussed, you know, earlier, what do we do, because it wasn't their fault on the applicant side that they were awarded if they spent the money. I don't think we want to leave small business hanging if they exceeded the threshold. Again, not to their fault, but to USITA's fault, to be quite honest with you. You know, we had set the parameters where we wanted them. They kind of screwed it up. And again, if I got a small business, again, I understand the other businesses that if the threshold was not set or was set higher, I would have applied. But again, the ones who did apply, I don't know how much we put them at fault, you know, for applying, and it was a reimbursable grant, correct? So I mean, they spent the money, and now they're looking for a reimbursement that we don't give them. I mean, does that force them out of business? Do we put an undue burden on them because it was a screw up on our side? Now, those are things to be talked about. Is you know, not giving them the money even though they didn't meet the threshold we set because USITA kind of screwed that up. So I mean, I think we've got to talk about that.
Agreed. Yes.
I just, one of the things that just kind of crossed my mind is in regards to the specific timing of this, in terms of the, you know, the red flag that was raised, in terms of from when, you know, the awardee decisions were made to when the announcement was made of the grant recipients. Mm-hmm. To, you know, now that we're announcing this pause, you know, why was it not something that could have been caught? You know, if a red flag had been raised, that we were able to catch it before we kind of were, you know, announcing these, you know, these awardees, and which kind of caused the issue that the controller is talking about of these institutions and you know, small businesses kind of coming to us and saying, like, what's the deal? You know, I'm concerned about the, you know, are we going to be getting this money? You know, what's the logistical, what are the logistical hurdles on this? So my question would just be in terms of if we could figure out, you know, why there was the failure of communication or an issue of logistical conflict in terms of being able to flag it at the initial issue instead of after announcement.
I agree with you, and that leads me to a question of how far does the ARPA committee go down the process of the monies? You know, I mean, we basically gave it over to USITA, trusting that USITA was going to do this and do it correctly. Was it our job to keep continuing to go back to them and say, did you do it correctly? Can we see the initial pool of applicants? Can we see all the finance? That, to me, I don't think that's possible for us to do that. And that's why we brought in this organization to be that entity to do it. But it gives me concern or a pause of, like, how can we have more checks and balances on the eventual spending of this ARPA money? How much more reporting do we need as a committee from either USITA or however it's getting spent? You know, I think we have to find a balance, you know, of something that we're not doing somebody else's work, but we're having some sort of checks and balances. So I'd love to hear, you know, if there's some sort of reporting structure that would make sense that we can, you know, put into our meeting structure. I'd be happy to do that. Do you have thoughts on that, Amanda?
Slightly more general, but sure. If I may, just, I think folks are aware, though, that I was recently appointed as the CEO of USITA. So that's a title and a position that I'm holding right now. I'm working with the economic development staff very closely to look at all the procedures, the workflow, everything that they're handling, how they're doing it, how it comes in, how it goes out, you know, how is it written down, what are the, you know, what are the procedures with everything, so that we can map that all out, have it written up, and so that there's structure to that. You know, this is a small organization that is supported by county staff. County staff comes and goes at some period of time, you know, you never quite know, but, you know, you can't guarantee that longevity in having support staff with a group like that. And that's it's very important then to have the structure that becomes what carries it through any kind of transition. So that's what we are taking apart right now, so that we can document everything and we can put it back together, so to speak. We're also seeking outside consultant on financials, and this was a recommendation of the comptroller quite a few months ago to the USITA committee, but we realized that this is a different entity and we need some guidance as far as how transactions are presented or represented on the books, but also to look at best practices and also be a credible third party who can come in and look at what we found and look at how we've written it up now, and then, you know, be able to look at that and tweak it, give us pointers and how to go forward. You know, it's a very important organization to the county government because it has, it is a tool that allows us to do things that typically cannot do through the municipal government. However, and it does deal with a lot of public money, but that does not mean it's almost more important in that case to be transparent and very clear with what you're doing, because it's different. And because these public benefit agencies and organizations have such a history of misuse, because it doesn't have the same rules on it as a municipal government does. So my intent here is to go through everything, document it, make it clear, have outside help come in, review what we're finding, help us with their best practices so that we can make sure this is, we're doing exactly what we need to be doing, that we have, we're making it really clear, and anybody can ask a question and we can answer it on the spot with the information right there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I think we all care deeply about this sort of once in a lifetime pot of money that we got, and we really want to make sure that it's spent in the way that, you know, does the best good for the most people, and we were very clear about what our criteria is. And I just want to make sure that in every one of these projects that are well thought out criteria is accomplished in the end. And so with every project. So whatever way we can all do that together, that's what I'd like to see. So any other questions on this? Okay, so this is a moving thing. And so what I'm going to ask is, you know, if I can get updates from you all, and Amber, I'll send them through you. We can send them to the committee to give updates about when, if there's a first tranche of monies that go out, I'll let you all know that. I'll let you know if there's a pause for assessment for a group two or whatever. As much as I can know from the comptroller and from Amanda Laval, I will put that through to you all. So yes.
Just actually, I did have one last question in regards to something that the comptroller had brought up in her presentation. Just a quick question in regards to the, you know, taking care of CARES 2 first, and then afterwards going back and looking at CARES 1. That's not in terms of having those funds somewhat appropriated already or sent out to those organizations, that's not going to be an issue whatsoever in terms of going back and kind of looking at that?
So CARES 1 was actually not ARPA funds. It was paid for with the Coronavirus CARES Act funding that came through the state as a CDBG grant. And the state Homes and Community Renewal actually reviewed the applicant selection and reviewed the payment. So I have a little bit more confidence that there was just another pair of eyes there. And I mean, it would be a terrible thing to determine that there was problems there too. I can't give you an answer as to that yet, but since it's already out and it's been out over a year, it's a little bit less, you know, you don't have people sitting at the edge of their seat waiting like you do with this. You know, we hope that we don't find anything that gives us pause there.
I appreciate your answer. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to move us along to Elizabeth Manor. So I think you saw that there was a proposed tour that then got canceled because it was too soon. But if at all you can join that tour, that's going to happen. That would be great for us to. I haven't been there quite some time.
Was the updated? Is it next Wednesday?
I think it's next Wednesday at this point, yeah. Okay. So we'll make sure that we send that around again. But if we can go on that tour, I think that's important. You know, now there's a lot of questions flying around this project again, and so I just want to make sure that we're clear that, in my opinion, our ARPA duties with this project are completed. We were there to purchase the building. We've done that. And now, to me, it's in the executive's hands to actually complete this project as we intended, but our ARPA, I just think that our ARPA duties are done on this side. Not that we don't care, not that we don't want to see it done, but I'm not sure, you know, what else we can do to weigh in on the matter except put pressure on the executive to say, this was our intention, let's get it done. So, but I'd love to hear other people's thoughts on this. And an update kind of on where things are at, if that's possible. That'd be great. Yeah, please.
All right. So there was resolution. I believe it was 337 for it was a contract resolution. It did go to the legislature It has been put back to, and this was for a contract for the city of Kingston for $500,000 of their ARPA funding coming to the county. That funding is important because it will allow the project to move forward in the near term for a bid on environmental abatement, remediation, and kind of the initial demo that's needed, the architect has requested, so that the walls can be opened up from the interior, the ceiling can be, you know, opened up, and they can then start the design process. They can evaluate fully the mechanicals, the thickness of the walls, anything like that, and start the design. So, unfortunately, we do have a little bit of, we have another month at least, where I understand that we'll go back to the Public Works, and that we'll go back to Ways and Means. We are working heavily to provide any information requested from legislators, and also, of course, the tour. There was an initial tour with Legislator Roberts and Hansett, and there'll be another tour, which I think is great, and I absolutely am welcoming any legislator who wants to come. I also reached out this morning to the City of Kingston, and spoke to the Director of Housing Initiatives and, of course, put it out there. And so they have been, and the mayor's office has been on the invite for the meeting. So,
did you reach out to their ARPA director to make sure that we're still locked in for that funding, that there's no issues now, that they're not going to sort of pull it off the table?
I would say it's Bill Reynolds is the head of the ARPA. I have not spoken to him directly because I was put in touch with the Director of Housing Initiatives, and I understand that he is specifically working on this pool, the $500,000 for 21 Elizabeth, and so that's my contact. I don't have any problem reaching out further, but I think we're, the message is there. And I haven't received any indication from the city that they've been a great partner so far. I've worked hard to ensure that what we know about the property is transparent. The draft contract had the estimate attached as an exhibit, $3.7 million. So kind of on the same time frame that I was making the legislature aware of that, I was making the city aware of it. And I sent over, I did talk over some of the new things that have been created and sent over the time frame that was provided to the Health, Housing, and Human Services Committee at the end of May. So, yeah.
I just think there's huge concern that this is going to become yet another money pit, that, you know, it's going to go from 3.7 to 4.7 to 6.7 to, you know, an outrageous amount of money. And other people have been quickly identifying other properties that we could have bought that are in closer shape, or potentially closer shape. So I just want to, I don't know what we can do to stop that train, but, you know, go ahead.
I do want to, so from the standpoint of the ARPA rules, I do want to highlight one thing, which is that ARPA, for the most part, with a few exceptions, is... needs to follow the uniform guidance rules of the federal government. So this is all through U.S. Treasury, but that is, you know, so there are, so the one I want to highlight is a particular section regarding real property. So it's not a long thing, but I did watch the last legislative meeting, and I do believe there's a little conversation around a possible sale on the property, and mainly to inform, I just want to bring up that there is a rule, like federal funds was put into the property to purchase it, so there would be a process of protecting federal funds and reaching out to the federal government for guidance on how some sort of disposition of the property would occur if that was to be the will of the legislature. So it's not an easy process. From just everything I know of working through these types of things, it's not completely clear on the section and the rule. I have read it a few times, but we would have to follow a federal process.
Yeah,
and I think that's the thing that I'm just highlighting.
And I think our goal is the original intention of purchasing this house anyway. I mean, I think that's it's why we did it. Uh-huh. It's, I think, what the majority of people want to happen at this point. So I just say, let's get it happening, you know. Yes, Legislator Erner.
Thank you. I'm wondering if Director Litwin could just briefly clarify the last thing you said. Like, that's worrisome. Does that mean that the federal government has some real property interest in this? Or, so it wouldn't be a simple matter of us saying, you know what, we're going to reimburse the feds $700K and then we're good. They actually have some.
It's a federal interest for federal dollars. Yes, that is the core spirit of this section of the uniform guidance. And I'm not trying to be alarmist in any way, but it is a process. You know, we do have certain rules we have to follow for the property, and it clearly states in that rule, and which I'm happy to provide, as long as the intended use for the purchase is continued, we don't have any issue. And I think our vision and the use is clear. So I don't see any, as we stand today, there's no issue. But if we were to consider, or if there are any questions around, you know, something different.
For me, it's mostly about the clock is ticking. We have a housing crisis. We have people who need this housing, and they need it yesterday. And we need to, like, turn up the gas on all these projects. Turn up the solar power on all these projects, you know. I really think that's the biggest concern and feedback I'm getting is, hey, you spent all this money, where's the product? So yes, sir.
And I would just add to that, I think the, you know, it's the issue I see in terms of the longer things get delayed, the greater likelihood of increased costs on construction and for inflationary issues on material and labor and such. So it's the longer we wait, it's just, you know, it's going to add up, costing more and more. So that's the problem I see.
Agreed. And the longer we wait, the more opportunity there is for people to naysay the project or change the project or, you know, so like if we get it moving in a direction that's, you know, that we're seeing so much significant progress, it's going to be harder to pull back from it, you know. So I'd love to get it to that tipping point where this is happening, no question asked, you know, let's keep moving. So other questions about this or comments about this?
The only thing that I would like to add is that, you know, this building, although it's kind of awkward to look at, right, to the eye on this street, but it has served some purpose in line with this for over 100 years in the community. It was used as a building for, like, basically inpatient treatment as Dr. Saylor's sanitarium over 100 years ago, working with folks who needed respite and care. It has been different types of shelters through that time. It's served the community for over 100 years, and it now needs care and proper renovation and abatement of hazardous materials in the structure and energy efficiency improvements in order to carry on and continue to serve the community in that way. And, you know, it's not a silver bullet. Like, you have to be thinking about everything, and that's, you know, silver buckshot, right? You know, it's like, it's all of the above.
Yep.
But this particular structure, we're going to be very, you know, looking at the budget, looking how to do this properly, looking how to do it cost effectively.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been in service for over 100 years. The pictures from 100 years ago with the campus that it was part of are amazing, and the service that it provided then. So I think it's an opportunity to see that it continues in that spirit, in that service to the community.
Great. Thank you. All right, I'm going to move us along. As you know, we have regular meetings with the ARPA team. Tom and I do meetings with them. And in this last meeting, we talked a little bit about workload. And I don't know if you have numbers with you today, but we had talked a little bit about trying to give the committee a scope of the sheer number of RFPs that still need to happen and the sheer number of contracts that need to happen, just so you all know that there's still a significant amount of just that kind of paperwork that has to happen to get things in a forward flow of all the monies that we've allocated. So I don't know if you have that today, but
yeah. So I have it, and I might be able to pull it up, but it was part of the backup material, and so the best thing I've created to date. Of course, there could always be more, but is an anticipated timeline to opening shelter, which I updated on May 16th, 2023, and provided to the Health, Housing, and Human Services Committee. It's a two-pager, and there's a list of all approved resolutions. Which there are currently 5 for 21 Elizabeth, and then there's 9 additional that I would expect. So that's just on the resolution load, which is legislative approvals. So I realized, cost is completely something, but I've identified 3 areas where these resolutions would have to come back based on procurement rules and legislative and governance for county rules. One would be, has already occurred, which is for the architect. And that is in place. We have an architect. They've provided a 6-page initial plan for renovations. The next would be first the bid, but then once we get the contract and everything ready, we'll do a remediation.
I'm going to stop you for a minute because I'm talking about something different. I'm talking about the big picture of ARPA funds. Remember we had this conversation, we went and we looked through and we said, oh, look, at solar is going to still need RFPs for all this, and it's going to need contracts for all this, and the parks is still going to need to, like, that's just one project you're talking
correct.
About. But in terms of all the totality of ARPA funding, there is still a crap load of stuff that needs to get done in terms of just getting out the RFPs. Just collecting the RFPs, assessing the RFPs, and then once those RFPs, once we get the approvals there, it's the creation of contracts. And so, if you don't have that today, no worries. But
I do. I just got a load. But
okay. I just thought it would be good for you all to get a sense of what we're talking about here, because what I'd like to figure out is our timeline as a committee. And sort of like what are the things we still need to do, because we basically. Said here's where we want the monies to go, but I want us to be super clear about the process now that we have to still continue to go through to get these monies put through to all the way to the end to the projects.
All right, so this sheet I think is to some extent the most helpful, because I want to quickly give you the high level survey of just how many contracts are done, but then how many contracts are left, because we are in year 2 of ARPA, the 3 of us as staff being here. I think year 1 was a lot of allocation. I do see year 2 as a lot of contracts, getting contracts signed so that we have obligated funds, which is required by the end of 2024. And so anything that is in this column to final contract is pretty much there with the time, certainly with the time frame we have left. So this is one sheet. It's kind of the master sheet for contracts, but I would highlight the food security grant program with the Community Foundation of Hudson Valley that we hope to actually get in front of the legislature for next month. Of course, we're in the drafting process, and we hope to get that moving, so we do think we could get that in place by the end of the year, but it's a big blank spot currently. There's also Main Streets with UCEDA, and there is the Parks Grant Program. Parks is, we will say more about that tonight, because a lot has happened, and a next major stage will be award and then contract. And there are 16, if I got it right, potential awards, and that it means 16 potential contracts. They will be a little easier than sewer water, so we do expect them to go quicker as far as a contract format. But that's 16 contracts that we're still, looking at. Of course, anything that might come through for respite houses, which likely would be a purchase and sale agreement for closing on property, but we haven't seen that yet. as well as Silver Gardens, which was $600,000, and I did speak to the project manager for that project. He anticipates a closing on funding, so this kind of contingent on a lot of other HCR funding, and that would happen in November, so I do expect that contract will be signed by the end of the year as well. So that gives you like what we're looking at to get done and what's available.
And solar's not even on there, right?
You're right, solar's not on there. Correct, not currently on there.
Because that will be at least, we said 20, you know, I mean the RFPs and then that process, uh-huh. And then at least 23 contracts.
Right. When you think of parks and when you think of solar, those are probably the two big projects which will carry into for contracts possibly into 2024.
That's true.
And Main Street.
And Main Street's potentially.
So we're talking at least 50, I mean, I think when we were sort of like just
30 to 40.
Knocking around 30 to 40.
Yes. Sewer and water, there's a separate page for that because it's a number of contracts as well, but I think we're in pretty good shape with where we are for everything to be buttoned up in, I would hope, a month or two.
Okay. I appreciate that overview because, again, I think it's important that the committee understand where this is in process.
Just a quick question for Nate. I appreciate that update on everything, but just wanted to get your take on why, you know, I have no reason to doubt you whatsoever, but I just wanted to kind of get your feeling on why you are, you know, so confident on for parks, you know, the contract process to go much faster than for the water sewer, just because of the logistics of it, or?
So we're using the, we have a subrecipient template that we have used for a lot of our contracts. We did not use it for sewer and water because that's a large capital program, capital types of cash flow projects. We spent a lot of time creating something different. Parks is a smaller dollar value. Mm-hmm. I might defer here to Ashley, who's looked closely and been involved with the committee on reviewing these applications. But from everything we've seen, we do believe we can use a more standard county format for contract, which is based off of, I believe, the vendor services agreement. And then we modified that to create our subcontractor template. Not subcontractor, our subrecipient template. It's a simpler contract. It's still going to be a intermunicipal agreement by charter rules. So it will require a resolution from towns, and it will require a resolution from the legislature. Mm-hmm. So that's going to take a little time as well. But from the standpoint of drafting, all the details involved, you know, administrative side, it's a little easier. That's why I said.
Thank you.
But we're still going to be approving contracts into 2024. I mean, there's no question there. We're still going to have a bunch of outstanding stuff happening in 2024. So please be on the ARPA committee for next year. Hopefully that will work. Any other questions on this, or if we can ask Nate and team to do a quick overview of the other stuff that's cooking?
Yeah. Do you want to verbally just speak on? I can always pass this to you, but it'll take a minute.
I can give a parks update. So review has been completed. So everyone was found eligible. Everyone had pretty good applications. The total overall ask and our recommendation to award would be $1,543,865. That does leave us with $456,135 still in the program. But that's 16, it's actually 17 municipalities because we had two municipalities team up. But it's 16 projects, basically. There's a mixture. A lot of people are looking for funding to just update their playgrounds. They have aging equipment or aging fencing. You know, some of the pictures we've gotten, it's pretty sad. And you're like, I can see why you'd want to replace your fence to make things, you know, better. And then there were some other things, looking to just make some of the pedestrian improvements to parks a little better, which is part of what the grant allowed for. There's a pavilion that needs to be updated, you know, things like that in parks. So overall, there's a mixture of projects, but there's still, I think, a basic theme there that people are just, there's money there and they're looking to just improve.
for their communities, which is great. So we're looking to award, and we could do that in the next, like, tomorrow.
So I think our decision is going to have to be about that $400,000. Is that, are we going to do a round two like we did with some of them, or are we going to put that money back into another unused funds pot that we then decide it's going to have other use? So we did put a second call out, didn't we?
We reopened it, and right. We did get two additional applications. One of them, which was from a municipality that I think is on the smaller side and mm-hmm. has a bit of a harder time maybe coming up with some of the matching funds, but they did mm-hmm. ask for funding.
So. Okay. So we'll have to decide whether that's going to happen. And if we do that, it'll go back into that double-dipping question, because I'm sure there'll be a municipality that, you know, if we've already got 16, like there's not that many left. Who,
23, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll have to, I think let's kick that question down a little further, but let's remember that has to happen at some point. So thank you. Any other highlights that you want to share with? We don't have to go through the whole thing.
Yeah, I worry that
there's anything that's sort of like, yeah.
A bit, but I did want to, let's see.
Or if any legislators have, any committee members have any specific project questions, sure. We can do it that way as well.
There were some questions from last month. I did try to get an answer on each. Maybe I could
the mental health in schools. Yeah, if you could, that'd be great. I appreciate that.
just find my notes here. So yeah, I know there was a question regarding it will continue into the summer. That's mm-hmm. clear. All of our middle and junior high schools are participating. They are Ellenville Junior High School. I'm just going to read the list. It's fairly short, but Highland Middle School, J. Watson Bailey Middle School in Kingston, M. Clifford Miller Middle School in Kingston, Marlborough Middle School, New Paltz Middle School, Onteora with the middle school, Roundout Valley with the junior high school, Saugerties Junior High School, Wallkill John G. Borden Middle School. So that's the list, which I can talk about more formally and provide if needed. But
and again, then this project is going to be then in the county budget, correct? Right. So this is going to be an evergreen through county budget. Yeah. So that's great. I'm so happy about that. I think it's wonderful that we get at least. So we did the pilot funding for this and the success. So that's great. Let's move it on.
I'm just kind of add.
Please.
I got feedback from one of the in Onteora from somebody who chatted at the program, and they're really happy with how it's going and excited to have it expand. So we've gotten some great feedback.
That's excellent.
Off, so I just wanted to share that.
Great. Thank you so much. Can you pull up? Yeah, I was going to say the tracker list. Maybe we can see if there's anything that's. Crisis Stabilization Center, are we in design phase now?
Absolutely. In fact, the fourth floor, a lot has been done through the work of the Department of Public Works directly on that renovation, and that is nearing a completion. But then first floor, we are getting close to building plans, which is a final phase of plans. And I haven't seen them yet. There was a meeting with the architect. I believe there's another one trying to get scheduled. Once there are final plans, there will be a bidding process, and we'll know more, certainly through that.
Okay. Any other questions on anything that's on the screen now?
I can just scroll through slowly. But, I don't know how much time. I can say something about every one of them.
I think I'm going to move us along a little
bit. Go ahead, yeah.
If there's specific questions about a specific project. I think Land Bank is in a bit of a holding pattern right now. I mean, it has been for a while. I'm just learning about some new changes that happened via a Supreme Court decision, yeah. Which has to do with foreclosures. So I think that's going to affect it. So. I think like more to come on where that's going to land, of whether we're going to move forward with this idea or how it's going to move forward. But we have $1 million that's allocated for that project, so that's not a small amount of money.
So this is the second. There's a lot of projects, so this is the second sheet.
All right.
Which starts at the ends.
That's great.
And,
did all those ones that I called finally do it? Did they?
It helped.
Oh, that's good.
Well, I have two. That's still.
Mm-hmm. It was so funny. I made calls to these nonprofits. I'm like, we have money waiting for you. Just fill out the paperwork. Oh, thank you for the call. We got busy.
Well, that sucks. Nonprofits, like,
I know.
Understaffed.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm just going to scroll across the banner.
Wait, what's the update on the respite houses?
Have we identified locations? Not to my knowledge. I do believe work is ongoing, but I haven't gotten any specific.
I thought there was one location identified.
In Ellenville? Was that the one? Yeah, I thought.
I thought like a couple of months ago.
We can provide an update to you tomorrow. I just want to check with Joanna on that. A very thorough update, though.
Perfect. There you go. If you can do it through Amber and then.
I will happily do that.
Perfect. She'll distribute it all. Thank you. All right.
Great respite houses. Got it.
Yeah.
Sewer and water. Tons of stuff, but we've talked about it a bit.
So where are we at with the number of contracts still to go out with sewer and water?
I know it looks like we actually, a day or two ago, Town of Ulster got signed. I also checked right before the meeting, and Town of Rochester just has to be signed by purchase, or not even signed, but because the chair signs it, but approved by purchasing. So it is at its last approval stage. So we have three pretty much completely signed.
The one for legislative approval, is that the one that we're actually going to be voting on in July?
Yeah.
So once that's done, we will have all the contracts through legislative approval. That's great. That's great.
Exactly. That's three, let's say, completed, because we're really, really close on that last, the third one. And then I have everything except for, so ASOPIS obviously is from the legislature. There's four that I'm waiting for county attorney approval on, and the rest I've received county attorney approval on. So actually there's a lot I need to do now. This has all happened fairly recently to get contracts out to the vendor or ensure that if I don't have a municipal resolution yet from towns, that I reach out to them, and in at least one case, there's a few amendments that we're going back and forth on, so I need to resolve those things.
So solar looks quite bare over there.
So solar really, because of the timing of when it was approved and the numbers of projects in front of it, we are trying to take these projects in chronological order, because I think that's fair.
Yep.
And that is the one that's waiting after parks, really.
Yep. I know you have a lot.
I
do want to go back to sewer and water for a moment, just to let people know that there is $137,000, almost $138,000 of ARPA funds still in that bucket that we have to decide what we're going to do with that. And I know that we had an application from, or a request from Village of Saugerties, mm-hmm. correct?
Yep.
So can we jump to that right now just for a second? Because I think, were you going
to... I'm still in the process of trying to get in touch with the mayor.
Okay.
I talked to Trustee Don Hackett a few days ago, but he kind of wanted to have the mayor looped in on it as well in terms of what exactly... their need is,
okay.
and what they'd be asking for, but the preliminary discussion, I did make that ask, but I am waiting to get in touch with the mayor.
Okay, great. My understanding is that we need to know how much money the village needs to proceed with the project. Is the project timeline, is it time sensitive? You know, where are we at in terms of having to make a move on our side? Are there time constraints on it? And then would the project be able to move forward with a maximum match of $358,000, which is the remaining value? So am I saying that right? So $358,000, is that
the remaining water and sewer fund?
That's so. What was the remaining? What was that $138,000 that I was just talking about? That's in total. That's ARPA total, right? So
yes.
yeah, that's what it
yes.
is. So
all
so
remaining.
So in sewer and water we have $358,000, but in the all of the ARPA funding, we have $138,000 that we haven't allocated. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we already allocated the money for the sewer and water, but we haven't spent $360,000 of that. So I guess the question would be, would that $360,000 be enough to help them complete that?
Yep.
So, all right, let us know when you hear.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that so. I'm hoping to hear something by the end of this week. So,
okay,
we'll be in touch.
Excellent. Great. All right, I'm going to move us along unless there's any more questions for anybody from the ARPA team. All right, great. Let's talk about the financial trackers for a moment. So, there was no financial tracker this month because there was really no major changes to it. So, you can just refer to last month's. And I know the team ARPA from different sides of the aisle here got together and talked about terms. So, can you tell us what the outcome of that meeting was so that we're all saying the same words?
Yes. Everyone is on the same page. We've decided to use the term approved obligation for what used to be assigned or allocated. So that will be approved obligation.
There's going to be a test on this.
In the order of events, the legislature will approve an obligation, taking the total amount of ARPA down, and then the funds will become obligated through an expense or an encumbrance, and then the remaining unobligated is what has left to be spent. So we're kind of like making it consistent all across the board, not just between us, but throughout our financial reports as well.
So right now our unobligated pot is $138,000.
Our unapproved obligation.
Unapproved obligations. Wow, this is really going to be something. All right.
That's where we got to.
We'll continue working on that, but thank you for doing that work.
You're welcome.
As long as we know what we have left and what we need to spend. So, all right, I'm going to move us on to resolutions. Could I have a motion to discuss resolution number 377?
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All righty. So this is the sewer and water, and if there's no questions on this, I'm just going to ask. So we have a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. And motion passes. Great. All right. And could I have a motion to discuss resolution 378?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? All right. So this is really just a number error. There was a number. What was the number? Six. It was basically a duplication of a number. Mm-hmm. And so in order to correct this, there just has to be a different number assigned to this. That's all it is. It's nothing.
A different resolution number?
No, capital project
number. Oh, capital project number. So basically a capital project was assigned the exact same number. And so we just have to fix that by giving it a different number. That's all this is.
So is it going to be 659 or 674?
It's going to be 674. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Makes sense?
Yeah. See?
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. This passes. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Alrighty. I think we covered the new business. Does anybody have any old business that they want to bring up?
I don't have any old business. During this meeting, I had thought, is it worth landmarking Elizabeth Manor? No. I see it. Oh. That was a visible face shrug.
I'm looking. Can I maybe do a little background just from sense of like the Office of Historic Preservation and where they stand and what we know from that?
Yes, you're good. That wasn't bad. You're fine.
Why are you so mad at me, Laura?
I'm not mad at you. I'm never mad at you. That's just your face.
You probably have more, and that's fine. But
my thought process was, if we have this 100-year historical building and we need funding, should we landmark it so we could try to tap into other funding sources, sure, like the feds?
Mm-hmm. it's one of these.
Because of the regulations, then?
Because then you have to follow Department of Interior, Secretary of the Interior Rehabilitation Standards.
could go open after some additional funding.
Yep.
So it's that's where you are. And then it's additional review.
Additional time.
And an additional grant.
A lot of additional time.
So should we just do all the work and then try to get landmarked?
Yeah. You can, I believe. I believe.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
We could research, because that's part of my job.
Okay.
Research.
Okay.
I can research and offer, and I'm going
to appreciate it.
Interesting idea.
That's an interesting thought.
All right. Unless we have anything else, can I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
Favor.
Sign.
Great.
Keyboard. Let's go.
Yes. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Enjoy your holidays, celebrations, whatever you do.
Six.
However you
celebrate.